The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Even my own comfort. My own comfort. Even I bring comfort to that. I bring comfort. Even heart weary. Even heart full of questions. I bring comfort. I come even to comfort you. I've come to comfort you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Come comforting you. Even to debunk lies. That Satan has hitherto told you, even about my love for you. I've come to debunk lies. I've come even to speak truth to you. I've come to speak truth to you. Truth that will bet comfort. I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. I want to debunk lies. Still murmurings in your heart. Still murmurings in your heart. Yes, you have come to comfort.
Bring to us comfort, as we have said. We receive this ministry. We receive this enablement this morning by your spirits. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has come to give us comfort. That's the work of the physician. The practice of the physician in those days is to apply oil on the wound of men. In those days, when you say, who is a physician? He's the one that has oil to bind a wound until the wound is covered with flesh and is completely healed. That's the work of a physician. And that's exactly what God said through that tongue that He has come to do in our midst this morning. So it's very evident that He has begun with us that beacon experience. Because the word of comfort is the word the word that brings comfort is actually the oil. Is the oil that the physician uses. Give me that scripture. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to heal them that are bruised. Give me that scripture. That should be Luke. There's one in Isaiah 61. And that version in Luke 1 uses the word to heal them that are bruised. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, that's the one in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because what? He had anointed me. What is to anoint? Oil. So when you see the word anointed me, meaning He has given me the oil. It is that oil that I will use to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So it's that same oil. It will use to what? Heal the brokenhearted. Can you see the work of the great physician in this scripture? to preach deliverance to the captive. All these things will happen by the law, by the oil. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised or wounded. To set at liberty, hallelujah, them that are bruised or wounded. So if you note how the physician of those days, how they treat the bruise of a body, they apply oil and wine. So that prophecy is so accurate. It's a welcome to the atmosphere of Beacon already. And that will be our experience all through this season in the name of Jesus. I said that will be your experience and my experience all through this season in the name of Jesus. The good thing about this community is the fact that there is a great alignment of the spirits. That's one good thing I've seen about this community. And if you and I, we have not come to know this and, you know, understand this alignment, we may not get too much from what God is doing in this community. We must have come to that awareness that there is a spirit of prophecy over this community of word of righteousness. It is not what I've ever seen before since I've been born. There is a great alignment. People don't compare notes, yet they read from the same heaven. Ministers under this canopy of word of righteousness community, they don't literally compare notes to preach to their members, yet they read from the same heaven. The alignment is so accurate, is so precise, that you know that there is a spirit that is leading a people. There is what? A spirit that is leading a people to a place. God is extra committed to seeing that this community and by extension the body of Christ arrive in a place. If you have not come to note that, please be more conscious of the happenings in this community. You will see that there is something leading these people to a place. I just knew that the theme of Beacon will just be accurate with what is over us presently. I just know it. I'm too sure that when the team will come out, it will be in alignment. It will just rest perfectly on the emphasis of the moment. I just knew it. The great physician of the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. We have been looking at a very important truth and understanding of the New Testament. For me, is the focus of the gospel. The issue of brotherhood is not just one topic that we should just learn among many topics. It is actually the very essence of the New Testament. The issue of brotherhood is not just one of the topics of the Bible. It is not one of those things that we need to know and understand. It is the very focus of the New Testament, understanding that God has ordained to give to men. It has everything to do with our salvation. Because salvation is the focus of the New Testament, right? Jesus came to give us salvation. And salvation, there is no salvation outside of the concept of brotherhood. Nobody can receive the name of the Lord called salvation, because the name of the Lord is what should be called upon for men to be saved. And that name is not a name that they can give to just one person. It is not ordained that way. It's a corporate, it's a name that we should corporately own. So the issue of, I want to serve God alone, read my Bible, pray in my bedroom, like people are doing today, people present today is not tenable. It will take anybody to nowhere. Brotherhood, as we have been learning it in last few, let me say, months of, because everything that we have been learning dovetail into it. It is so key and so central to the work of salvation that God had ordained to do upon the earth. So central to it. And that's why I believe that God is visiting our foundation this season to ensure that we key into this truth. But I've been saying it for some time that, oh, it's good to stay with brethren, stay close to brethren, have brethren as your friends. It's as if we are, at times it will sound as if somebody is trying to just forcefully be your friend. Or somebody is forcing you to come a big part of a people. It's not so. It's just that there is no other alternative to getting what you are looking for in Christ than that wisdom. Except that we are not looking for salvation. If salvation is our focus, if being like Jesus is our focus as Christian, then there is no other way out than the wisdom of brotherhood. No other way. So the thought of I will just do things on my own is tantamount to saying that I don't want to be saved. What I say? When you want to do things on your own is equal to saying I don't want to be saved. So if salvation, as we have been told and taught over time, is our focus, then we need to look into the matter of brotherhood again and again and trust God to help you and I to align with it. Because it's not easy. It's not what you will like. Because it is not you that build the church or bring people together around yourself. You can't initiate it. God himself brings people like that. Even if you are the one that God used to bring people to church, by the time God started dealing with all of us together, you can hate somebody that you preach to church. You brought him to church or out of church. You can even wait. So it's not, you can't, that is beyond what you can control. God is so wise in his wisdom that he has decided to save us. And he has put a structure, an ancient structure in place. Which if all of us should be saved, we will need to key to it. It's time to love your brethren the more and trust God to help you to fit into this house. To fit into these tents. God is pitching a tent, not made with hands. And we are the materials that is used to pitch that tent. Because all of us together, we will show God. Hallelujah. That tent is what? It's God himself. So he needs many stones, he needs many woods to pitch for himself a tent. That means he will need to show himself on the earth through men. So when you are seeing God, we are seeing men actually. Men are the ones to construct the image of God. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that this wisdom is an ancient wisdom. And like we said on Sunday, we look at the scripture on Sunday. Psalm 133, let's go there again. Let's check what God we have to show us again from that scripture. Psalm 133. Let's check that scripture again and see how the Lord will help us to locate what he has to tell us. We saw a structure of how God will express himself through the church. We spoke about hierarchy. Even though we all have the same reward in focus, all of us, we are supposed to get everlasting life, but we will not get it by us being equal in our role or in our duty to God in the church. And we said that, of course, the same thing was displayed by the Godhead himself when the Godhead needed to show their kingdom to or transfer their life to humanity. They also took a posture that displayed that life. We have the Father, we have the Word, we have the Holy Ghost. They are three in one. Hallelujah. The three of them are God. They are not lesser in rank. But because they need to show the example to humanity of how their life is transferred, how their life is flown out. How their life flows out, rather. They need to take position of subservience to one another. The Father is the head in this context of Psalm 133. Then the Son, who was the Word, who is the Word, equal to the Father. We have to become the Son now. By being the Son now, is not the Word of God in full. He needs to look up to the Father to get the transfer of the oil. Which is the oil we read this morning. Can you see the Son? The Word of God became flesh. He had to pray for the Father to anoint him with the oil to preach. As the Word of God, he does not need to pray for it. But because he has become Son now, he needs to receive from the Father what he already had in his estate as the Word. So that forms the beard that we carry the oil. When you pour oil upon a man like Aaron with that beard, make sure that they know they have many beards like that. It will hold the oil. Then the oil can flow to the skirts of his garment, meaning the hem of his garments. Now, from this structure, the Father is the head. The Son is the beard that became like the Father, because the same oil upon the Father flowed to him. That was a God judgeth no man, for he has committed all the judgments to the Son. There was a point in time he transferred all his judgment, which is his oil, all his life, transferred to the Son. But the Son took a position of a lower being to receive it from him. Then after Jesus had gone to heaven, he promised that, he said, if I stay longer here, you will not really receive of me. The oil will not flow to you. So I need to go and send another comforter, because he himself is a comforter. If you say I will send another, that means I am one. I'm also a comforter. But he can't comfort the church. He can't comfort man in his estate. So he never go to heaven. Then he sent the comforter. No, the comfort ministry is the ministry of oil. Exactly. How the comfort is through oil. It's the word of a physician. A physician will comfort by using oil on the wound. So the garments in this context of Psalm 133 is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the oil will flow from the head to the beard to what? The garments. Because it is the garment that is the house of them, is their expression. Hallelujah. Amen. God and the Father and the Son could not be expressed the way they need to be expressed as the comforter until the Holy Ghost came. So that garment of Aaron, that robe of the ephod, is actually the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Because it is through the garments that God will communicate the oil to the church. Now, if you have a picture of the dressing of Aaron, this will be understood very well. We are looking at it from another side now, right? Though we mentioned it last Sunday, that the same way we have our fathers as the head, we also have pastors as the beard, we have all of us as the skirt of the garments. We are also looking at it from the angle of how this brotherhood was first displayed in the Godhead. For it to flow to the church now, we should be the expression of the oil. Where you will see the life, God himself, Father, the Word, they don't need to express that life. It is their life. But the place where they want to express it is the earth here. That's how their kingdom will come here. Said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That kingdom is the oil. Is their life. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So men must do that will as it is in them. So the kingdom of God coming is to be seen in the earth. The kingdom already exists in heaven, in them. They are the heaven himself. The heaven is not a place, it's, they are the heavens. That will is done in heaven, not in the heaven of angels. In they are in them. Because that will is not in the angels. That will be done, said thy kingdom come, said that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That heaven is, they are the heaven. It's not heaven of angels. It's not heaven as a place. They are the heaven. So as the will has been done in them, the will should be done in man too. And where the great water separates is the earth among men. Hallelujah. Amen. That oil is the kingdom. It's their life. When you see Jesus Christ saying he has anointed me to preach the gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom. What he was preaching was the kingdom. This is the picture of the high priest, Aaron, representing God. This is a tent of God. This man is a tent. The tent is not a physical wood gathered together. He's a man. He said, I will pitch you. Said, God will not live in a house that is built with hands. Meaning, it is what he built with his face that we express him. When they live in a house, is to express himself. That's how the kingdom come to the earth. So, around the hem of the garment of Aaron, Aaron has 8 garments. No, 18 that he wears. 8 of them, plus the turban and the mitre upon his head. 8 of them like that. The first thing is the that white robe, that linen white, is the first thing he wears. Then he will wear another girdle like that, girdle from his waist to the thigh. Then he will not put the rod of the ephod on it. Then I put the ephod on it. Ephod is from the neck to his waist here. He will not put on the breastplate. There are 8 things that he was put on. So, but the context of our this morning's discourse is that hem of the garments, which is the church. What are the things in the hem of garments? If you read for me, Exodus 28 from 31 there, let's check that scripture. Hallelujah! Yay! We are going somewhere this morning. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. The robe of the ephod is not the ephod himself. It's first put on, then you now put the ephod upon it. Verse 32, that's, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. They shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an abagion. Don't worry, just follow the reading. That it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem, let's read this place. And beneath upon the what? The hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. Next verse. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. Hallelujah. What he says is that where they describe the last phase of the oil expression, it's called the hem of the garments. So I'm just trying to show us what is in the hem of that garments. Is a golden bell and what? A pomegranate. They are not, it's not the life one. They made it, right? They tied to the robe, the hem of that garment. And it's not the white first robe he wore, it's the robe of the ephod. So they alternate it. The first thing they put a bell, then they put, after it, a pomegranate, then after it, a bell. Like that, there are sound two numbers, sound two. So 31 bells, 31 what? Pomegranates. And that pomegranate has 3 colors: blue, purple, and scarlet. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where the oil should flow to. So the oil flow from the head to the beard to the garments, then to the skirt of the garments. So it gets to the garments, then to the hem or the skirt of the garments. So you can see the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost now, right? And the church. Because that is what the Holy Ghost is the one that carried his church. That's the womb where they bear the church. That's why it is the hem of the garments. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's check the four things that are there. The two things there. The bell and what? The pomegranates. And it's of three colors. And every color has their meaning. Blue, purple, and scarlet. And the way they arrange it is that they have to put a bell first. Then they alternate it with a pomegranate. Then another bell. What is bell? Bell is what announces that the high priest is coming. And that's also symbolic of the announcements of the gospel. So you now see that the function of the church, hallelujah.
Amen.
If the church is actually the hem of that garment, this is what it should become. Because it's not every church that is an hem of the garment of the high priest. It's not every church that is aligning with the high priest. That's what I'm saying. So if you are truly attached to that garment, you will become a bell and a fruit. Pomegranate is a fruit that speaks about God's life. So the expression of the church, just next, we're going to see how our brotherhood is bettered and how it brings to us salvation. I'm going somewhere this morning. So the church must be, if the church is truly attached to the garment, it must be announcing the gospel of peace. Then the first color of the fruit is blue, right? Blue is the color of heaven. The heaven is blue. Hallelujah. It tells you that the church should be covering to themselves. The role of the church is what you see in those things that is attached to that's the church, right? Covering. That's one thing that's something I want to emphasize on this morning. The church is a covering. And the church is what? Brethren, right? One form of the church is brethren, brotherhood. So our function, if we are truly attached to the garment, we should be, our life should be announcing God's presence on the earth. That's what the bell talks about. That's why when the high priest enters the most holy and the bell stops ringing, that shows that he's dead. So a dead church is what we not announce through conversation, God's presence. Blue color is the color of heaven. The church is supposed to be a cover. Brethren should be a covering. Your life should be announced to me the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your life should be to me a covering. Amen. We are going to see this morning how brotherhood supplies covering to us. Then the purple color, another color for the pomegranate is purple. That's reality. Reigning of God. God should be reigning through us. God's reign among us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our brotherhood should be showing the reign of God. Then lastly, we have scarlet. That's sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sacrifice talk about the culture of life that should exist in the brotherhood. We should be laying down our life for one another. That's how we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we lay down our life for one another. That's 1 John. That's 3 or so there. Verse 14 or so. Hallelujah. We can't do without the brotherhood. I'm trying to show us the wisdom of salvation as it is in the wisdom of brotherhood. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what that color represents. That scarlet represents sacrifice. Our life must be announcing God's life to one another. That's why that's why you must have a bell first, then a fruit. So it is the announcement of gospel of peace that bears those three lives, expression. So a bell and a purple, a bell and a scarlet, a bell and a blue, right? That's how you see it all around the hem of the garments. So that means there's none of those life that can produce without the announcement of the gospel, which should be a life in the church and miss the church. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Everlasting life is not resting on anything, but resting upon the manner of life that is lived among the brotherhood. Give me John 5:23. Said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. We see as we read further that how to honor the Father and the Son is actually expressed in the way we love our brotherhood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All this that we are seeing as commandment is as though it's something that is deep somewhere. All of these commandments are expressed or can be done through the way we love our brothers. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, we read earlier, 1 John 3:16, we saw what it means to pass from death to life there. How do we pass from death to life? By loving our brethren. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. 1 John 3:14, 15. Let's see what is written there. Hallelujah. No, we know that we have what? Passed from death unto life. Because what? We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So, how do we pass from death to life? Through what? Love to our brethren. Go back to John 5 there and show me where he wrote the same verse again. Very, very, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So how to pass from death to life is to love our brethren. And that's what it means to have everlasting life. So I say unto you, he that heareth my word. What is that word? It is the content of how you will love your brethren. If you combine the two scriptures, what makes us pass from death to life is contained in God's word that teaches us how to love our brethren. Is that clear to us? Because in 1 John 3:14 to 15 there, how it explains to us that to pass from death to life, we will need to lay down our life for our brethren. And also, we read in John wrote both scriptures. He said it, he said, if you hear my word and believe it on him that sent me, then when you hear that word, you will pass from death what to life. So the content of that word is how a man will love his brethren. Is that clear to us now? Is that mathematics understood that way? Because if this one say that to pass from death to life, you have to love your brethren, right? And said that if you hear my word and believe in my word, you will have life everlasting. And that equals to you passing from death to life. That means that what you are hearing in this word is the understanding of how to lay down your life for your brethren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that clear to us? The issue of brotherhood is what the gospel is hanging upon. If you say you will not perish, because when a man does not have everlasting life, he will perish, right?
Yes.
How not to perish is how to discern the brotherhood and love the brotherhood the same way Jesus Christ loved us. So it means that you can't be safe away from your brethren. They are the one that God will use to make you to not perish. It is through your interaction with your brethren that they will expose death in us and make us pass from death to life. You can't do it in isolation. That's the meaning. So your brethren are an asset to you. Assets. You can't do without them. You must value your brethren. You must exhort them high because they hold what you need to be saved. We have not understood brotherhood very well. That's why we don't esteem ourselves very well. You can't be saved alone. Be reading your Bible, be praying every day. Without your brethren, you can't be purified. You can't be separated from death to life. They are the one that has the atmosphere needed to purify you and have everlasting life. They are people that you should esteem high. So you don't know when God says that, let us do good to all men. Especially them that are of the household of faith. You don't know that it's not partiality. Your salvation is not primarily hanging on your family in the flesh. No. Because they are the one that you will get the highest of your focus. Life everlasting. So if you do good to them, especially, you are not doing a passion. You are doing what is just. Because you will get more from them than anybody upon yet. Your greatest goal, greatest achievement, being a man, how you will get God's image, which is your highest attainment, is through the people of the household of faith. So when you are doing good, they deserve more good from you than anybody upon yet. Not even your family in the flesh. It might be easy to do, but that's the truth. That is the greatest grant that they can plant you and you'll be fruitful more. They gave us to our family, national family, right? That's our first grant of where we're planted. What do we get from that place? Maybe at most, they send you to school. But is schooling your highest degree on it? The highest grant that will give you the highest level of fruitfulness is the grant of brotherhood. So if your highest money, highest investment goes there, it's righteous that way. It is unrighteous to invest in what will not give you the highest fruit on it. So Bible is not partiality. Do good to all men, right? Your family inclusive. But especially, you must prioritize the household of faith. Because therein, you can have life everlasting. Titus is verse 1. We are looking at the life of brotherhood, right? And brotherhood is not just that all of us are equal, right? The other two, they are also in that brotherhood, right? But in our brotherhood, we have elders. We have younger ones. So we are all in a brotherhood. So brotherhood is to provide for us covering. So the elder in the midst of the brotherhood has provided for him a covering. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, this is an elder, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest also that be tempted. So it's just to show that in the brotherhood, there must be provision for covering. Say, he that saved his soul has covered multitude of sin. That's why the Bible says, he said, charity cover what? Multitude of sin. Charity is what? Is the nature of a spiritual person, right? Hallelujah. So if anybody is caught in a fault, he that is spiritual, or that is Christ, Galatians 2, 6 there. Check verse 2. So he said, he that is spiritual should restore such an one, right? Verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill what? So you can't fulfill that love of Christ if you don't have Christ in you. So you must be a charity man to a degree. So that's operation is the operation of a man who has learned charity. Exactly. So go back to that scripture. Say, above all things, 4 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall what? Cover the multitude of sin. So what they use as hide the multitude of sin in that place, this is what cover here. Hallelujah. James called it, he said, it shall hide the multitude of sin. They call it cover here. So covering is actually what we provide for ourselves in the brotherhood. I am sick, you are sick. We must have gradients. There must be man, somebody among us who can provide covering for us at different levels. That's one of the quality of that brotherhood. Some of the fruit there is what? Blue. Blue is the color of heaven. So heaven is a covering. May heaven is just my covering. So it is the quality of the brotherhood. And that's why that color is scarlet, right? It must be sacrifice, right? So how do we have that life? He said, we lay down our life for the brethren. So for the reigning life, which is purple now, right? Reality. Those things must be together like that. So we can't reign when we have not laid down our life. And when we have not built ourselves as covering. So the structure of the church, that is the hem of the garments, hallelujah, should be such that can provide covering. Covering. We must be concerned about the fruitfulness of our brethren. Because that person is causing a fault. That means he is not fruitful at that time. Hallelujah. Amen. That means that brother is not fruitful unto truth. Those who are spiritual there should raise him up. That means they will heal his wound, right? They will cover him. So that he can be fruitful. He can also be part of the hem of the garment of the high priest. So him there can also be fruitful. Be to somebody else as what covering to. But later is life for you. You too, you soon become that same. You yourself, you must also die too. So all of us must die. It's our common life. We must all be, our life must all be laid down. That means we must all become that scarlet fruit there. We must all become that blue pomegranate, right? Also, we must all become that purple pomegranate. And how to do is that, that bell must be ringing to us. That bell is the gospel of peace. Let us follow peace to all men and holiness. Without which, no man shall see God. You can't have everlasting life if that is not our conversation in our brotherhood. Our brotherhood must have that conversation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for that verse we read this morning. That one, that's Deuteronomy chapter 25. That story there. Very accurate. Telling us about what God expects in our brotherhood. Somebody, that, you know, in those days, the brother is their fellow Jewish brother, right? Which means your brother in the church now. So if a brother dies, can you see? So if brethren dwell together and one of them die, this is a church, right? Because they call them congregation of Israel. They call them what? Congregation of what? Israel. That is a church. If brethren dwell together and one of them die, can you see? That means they are united. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The same word here. If brethren dwell together and one of them die, the one that die here is not physical death in the church now. Somebody who is caught in the faults. So becoming a man is what? Is death. So why somebody is carnal? Somebody is spiritual should be able to raise him up. If one of them die, and have no shame. I mean, he's not fruitful. That's error from truth. The wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. No. It will take a stranger to bail him out. The wife there is his womb. Where he can carry his fruit. So the womb of that brother is not fruitful. Because he doesn't have a child in this contest. Every story is a preaching. The wife of the dead shall not marry without an. So, God will not require a stranger to raise for that brother a seed or to revive him. His wife is his womb. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, his brother who has fruit, who is alive, who is spiritual. Abi?
Yes,
that one is fruitful. He is spiritual, is alive. Should raise for his dead brother a seed. Her husband brother shall go in unto her, right, and take her to him to wife. That's how what the brother does when he sees a weakling in faith. When he wants to raise him up, he's not fruitful, right? Unto righteousness. So he wants to raise, he wants to help him to produce a fruit, right? Hallelujah. When you raise him up, you have helped him to be fruitful. That's what it means to rest a seat for him in his name through his wife. His wife is his womb, right? Or his soul. That means you want to transfer life to the soul. If anybody see his brother commit a sin that is not to death, you know that scripture, First John, huh? So he shall give him life. So the brother should give him life. So when the brother should go in under the wife, is when the brother want to revive your soul. James 5:19 that we just read now. Hallelujah. And take him unto him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband, brothers unto her. Next verse. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bred shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, right? That his name be not put out in Israel. What's the meaning? The reason for the brother marrying that brother's wife is to raise for him a name. What's the name? Life, nature. That brother is heir in truth, right? That means he has taken, he has looked from the name of the Lord. Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. So let him the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So when you are in iniquity, you are looking away from the name, right? So your brother should ensure that you don't lose the name. It should turn you back to the name. Meaning that ensure that your brother have a name. So it will not be birthed out of Israel from the church. You are restoring back to fellowship. Hallelujah. I would have seen that preaching there. So that brother must do it. See what happened if he didn't do it. So can you see the duty of a brother? Brother, now you must be ready. That's how you must be positioned to be the one that is living, brother. That is how to raise for your brother a name. Or raise him back to the name. So he's not in the fold. Woman missing. That's what it means to raise for himself, for him a name. So they won't forget about him in Israel. Meaning in the church, he won't lose his portion. So that the child they give back to, which is what you do now when you make your brother fruitful now, will be the reason for him to have lots in Israel. That's what you do when you restore him back. If the man like not to take his brother's wife, wow, what a great sin before God. Your brother is weak. You should cover him. Hallelujah. Amen. You provide for him covering or recovery. Not to expose him or to get him more wounded. Let his brother wife go up to the gate. Can you see? The woman has right to go and report in the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refused to raise. That's the son of a brother. Hallelujah. The wife is all stuck in the head. That's the son of a brother that is dead. Your brother who is weak beside you, his soul is crying for help. Help me. Raise for your brother a seed on the earth. So when you look away from your brother's weakness, you mock him. You look away from his, you are not trying to cover him, but you are trying to use his mistake as an advantage over him. Wow, that's what you are doing here. My other brother refused to raise up unto his brother a name in what? Israel. That's what you are doing. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother, because you should be your brother's keeper or brother's covering. Let's see what the wives do. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, I would like not to take her, a grave sin in Israel, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his feet. You know what I mean? He will remove his walk. His foot is his work. That's what the womb, that's what the soul of the brother that is supposed to be rescued. That's what our God will judge that matter. He will lose his shoe from off, because his shoe foot short should be such that prepares other men for the gospel of peace. Remember, the gospel of reconciliation. You should reconcile your brother back. He didn't acknowledge that he has a foot shod that should recover somebody else to peace or reconcile him to peace. and spit in his face. And shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. What's the brother's house? His soul. Yeah. Next verse. And his name shall be called in Israel. What? The house of him that hath his shoe loose. Meaning this one has lost his foot short. That's what it means. Verse 11. Let's see. So that's the end of that story. Hallelujah. Amen. The your brother is so key. You can't afford to. Then that's how your that brother will be more civil. That action is so salvation. When you are longing to help people to become better, to be fruitful in Christ, you also become better. That's how to also become better. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one, and that's one of the things that represents what we call brotherly kindness. So what he didn't do here is what? He refused to be kind to his what? Brother. Somebody also committed that sin. That's Onan. The son of Judah. His brother died. That should be Genesis 38, thereabouts. Let's say verse 9. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife. His brother died too, can you see? And marry her. And raise upwards. See to thy brother. It's the same thing. Next verse, let's see what happened. And the thing which he did, no, verse 9. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. Selfishness. Because the way we have that child is to be named after his brother. When you help your brother to grow, the fruit will be for him, right? But you yourself, you also have your own reward. But you are looking for advantage. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife. That's what he did. That he spilled it on the ground. After he has enjoyed the woman, he didn't allow the tea to enter it. To make his child. What happened to him? That he spilled it on the ground. Lest that he should give what? Sit. What does it cost you? Then God said, okay, you can't go free. Verse 10. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore he slew him also. He died there. So can you see how God exhorts? That's why this woman that they didn't allow to have that child was, which was later allowed to go, and God, in a way God still arranged it. Yeah. Judah still had to sleep with that woman. Yeah. To give her to Phares and that other son, two twins. And that Phares was what produced the line of Judah, of David, that brought to Jesus Christ. God's word is so meant to you. We have to honor God. So it's not a time to. Your brothers are your highest assets. You can't go anywhere without them. I need you, you need me. If I live alone in the bush, I won't grow. I won't come to the peak of my attainment in life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Our brotherhood is so key that God, we need to help us. I said that covering is one key thing that we must provide. Covering. We must be able to cover the sin of our brother. So this is it's not a sin for you to mock your brother, sin their weakness, or your staff sin their weakness. No. God will demand from you to cover them. Pray for, if you can't cancel that person, maybe you don't have enough wisdom, pray for him or her. We had this morning during the tips, right? How do you befriend or friend? You pray for them. Somebody among us is weak. Pray for him. You may not have enough wisdom to convert him that way, but your prayer can convert him. That's how you have covered him. So God actually is on a mission to pitch us as tents. You will cover me, I'll cover you. Hallelujah. You cover me and I will cover you. If you say the way they build the temple of Solomon, they lock the stones. And before they can lock you, they must have chiseled your hedge to fit into the stone that they want to lock inside. Lock into rather. That's how you and I can become God's tent. We can't become God's tent if they don't prune us that way. You know, the way God arranged his church, hallelujah, is such that he brings us together in a manner that we can save ourselves. Our brother is for salvation. That's why you don't choose your company. God brings to you your company. He knows your soul frame. Some of us, if we don't have people around you, the way they are, even God will also use our weaknesses to prefer ourselves. Ha! It's not as if God brings people who are perfect. No. It brings that all people who are not perfect. He will use my imperfection to prefer you. Use yours to prefer me too. So, by so doing, God has raised for himself a pure house. Even in marriage, that wisdom is very high. If you marry truly in the Lord, wow. At times you can have your own discovery, your own lust. God may not allow it. There are times they also allow it. Someone there, they can, they know our soul, of course, they know our soul frame. They can present to you what something you like in a man, and that man will have it. But behind the scene is what you don't know about him. Hallelujah. So you have married your dream husband. Your spec. Yes, you have married the person that will remove the speck from your eye. Hallelujah. That speck. God will use it to remove the speck in your eyes. Wow. Because some things are hidden, you know, that we don't know about ourselves. It is when you enter the real money that you know, this guy has this thing, no. And in God's wisdom, it is that kind of soul you need to be purify yourself. That thing in him is not good, really. That thing in him is not really good. But if you yourself will be saved, there's a way that we arrange your nation like that. One will face this side, and another will face this side. By the time you will live together, you see that actually your salvation is hanging in his or our weakness somewhere there. That thing is God's wisdom, I'm telling you. That thing is God's wisdom. There will be something if you truly marry the Lord. Even if you marry at times, if you see, if God still wants to hand over that, if God wants to still take care of that family, there's something that man or that woman, they wish to purify you. And truly, if you had married somebody who don't have that nature, you will remain your sin. So it's not going to even pay you. Sometimes what you complain about in your wife, if you truly look keenly with our spirits, actually that thing will actually save you. Hallelujah. Some things you complain about, even your brethren, your friend, check them very well. What is that your friend that God said, that's as a friend. Somewhere there, if you look at that person's nature, truly if you can endure and obey God's command and land him or her, that will prune you. So I mean, maybe after 2 years of marriage, you know. You may not know early. You will still be enjoying yourself. You have married your spec. You don't need. But then you God want to start with you the real job of salvation. They will not go and excavate that issue from him. For you, you are, and actually that thing is your salvation. If you don't mind someone that's that nature, you'll be so comfortable in your sin. That sin will not be touched. It is that nature that you don't like in him or her that will expose that thing in you. You don't know how much you can be angry. They will use him to reveal your anger. You don't know how much you can be jealous. They will use them to reveal to you how you are jealous. What's marriage is also a kind of brotherhood, right? Yeah, it's not a way to express brotherhood. Because it's your sister. You are a brother. You are a brother. When God said, I will find my place in that home, is that it will pitch you as tents. And to get you pitched, they will cut the head of your stone so I can fit into that socket. Have you seen when they lock stones with that? Stone that is locked. That locking has shape. So if you have more widths that can enter that shape, they will chisel that width until it can fit into that hole. Like when they put it, it's just locked like that. God wants to pitch us as tents. See the way they build tents in the wilderness? They must have sockets, right? Sockets. they will not be putting those wood, those things that they used to make the tents in runners. So in every that must be the shape of every socket. The socket has a shape. And what we enter it must be in a particular cubit. So if that is your own socket that will make sure that will make you fit into that building of God, you know that they will have to cut your hedge, prune you many times until you fit into that socket. That's how they can say they pitch you with them. All the things that you see that is used to be the tabernacle, this representing everybody in the camp. You are a stone, I'm a stone there. I'm a wood, you are a wood there. And thou shalt make for thee hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood. Woods here are men that God pitched together to form for himself a tent. And overlaid them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold. Can you see they have hooks? And thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. Can you see they put them, they are knitted together like that. To form a tent for God. Because only you will form that tent. That tent is God's image. It's a corporate assignment. So the year of brotherhood is the highest of the commandments that will make you pass from death to life. How to have everlasting life is true brotherhood. It's not praying alone, it's not fasting alone. So we have passed from death to life because we have laid down our life for the brethren. And that's what it means to have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. God is building a tent. God is building a city. God is building a house for himself. He needs our brotherhood to achieve this agenda. If you check the way they describe God's city in Revelation, you have an idea of what God actually wants to do with you and I. Give me Revelation 21. Let's start from that place. Let's see how God's city. That city is not a physical city. It's a living city. It's a conversation of men. That's why they said, behold, God has found his tabernacle among men. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. These are men. It's not physical. It's not the shy heaven. Men are the new heaven. Men are the new earth. There is a brotherhood. Hallelujah. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Verse 2. Hallelujah. Verse 2. And I just saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This was what Abraham saw. He saw a city that has true foundation, whose builder and maker is God. God is the one that wants to pitch his people, make them for himself a city. Hallelujah. And that city, let's see how he described it further. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, Revelation 21 verse 10, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. That means what we make them is from God. Is that descending out of heaven, what? From God, that's the oil. Flowing from God. That city is an oil. Or it's a lifestyle. It's called a conversation of men. So that oil is what is finding expression among men. Flowing down to them to give them a lifestyle that expresses God's life. Hallelujah. Amen. Having the glory of God and our light was like unto a stone, most precious. Their light is not candlelight, it's their conversation of life. Their glory, their righteousness. Even like a jasper stone, like clear as crystal. Hallelujah. And had a wall great and high. So he's telling us that all these 12 gates, gate of, is not physical ghetto. It's the life that exists in the brotherhood. It's not anything. When you see the goat, let me give me verse 21 there. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. Every several gates was of one pair, right? And the street of the city was pure gold. As the transparent glass, it's not God that is laid down. He's telling you how the brotherhood will look like. It's the city that represents what the church should become. This is our brotherhood. All these 12 gates are nations of God in us. That's why you see the garment of the high priest. It has 12 stones representing every tribe. They are the 12 nations. The 12 nations in God. God here on street is not, it's not just physical gold. It's blood. God's city is a city of blood. That's brotherhood. Blood will flow every day. Hallelujah. They will be, the way they deal with us every day is blood that is flowing from us. We must be offering, right? It's a city of, that people are offering life. People are laying down their life. I told us earlier that scarlet means sacrifice. Mean that men are shedding their life every day, shedding their blood. Their blood is shed. Meaning that what God decided to see, your brow, that's like when you see a perfect system, it's not what you call professional. A perfect city. City means that where God is residing, where you see God's life, that city is not as you think it. It says that city represents what God has created down. They will give you a brother you don't like. Your brother, you will not like him, but that's what I will make you safe. That is what we call a perfect situation. That's what makes it a perfect city. If they give you someone that you like, that make your sin to remain, that situation is not perfect. Because they can't see blood. They won't see God. God there is talking about when men are shedding blood. Give me 1 Peter 1 verse 7. Let's see what God means. Let's see what it means to have pure gold. 1 verse 7. The trial of your faith, can you see? It is that city that they are doing this to, right? This trial of faith is what is happening in the city. It's a city where men's faith are being tried. All of us, we are being used to prune ourselves. That trial of your gold faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Mean that if they are trying your faith, what they give you is not what can perish, but it's a gold that can perish. Hallelujah. Amen. When you become tried, you are becoming golden. I mean that they are shedding your blood every day. Your blood is being shed. You are laying down your life for the brethren. That's the meaning. Though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory had the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that's how God appeared as light to that church. It's a brotherhood where you see God appearing in his light. That light is what is making you to go through trial of faith. That light is what arranging you another brother, another sister. It's that same light. If you refuse that arrangement, you won't be safe. They won't say you are on the place, honor and glory. So I say the city is of gold. The gold is what shows, what manifests when men are losing blood, when they are trying their faith. Many of you are losing life of sin to gain life of God. So it's not just something that is a comfortable thing that you think comfort. It's comfort as God describes it. Only God can describe comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. Only God can what? Describe comfort. So when the child of faith, they are allowing our blood to be shed. That's what produces gold on that street. That street is a street that represents our conversation. That city is not a city of what everybody must have seen in himself, right? But that still is our communion. They are describing for us, what is not heaven. This is not heaven. This is on the earth with men. When they say, thy kingdom come to be on earth, that's God's kingdom they are describing. That's with when we are now aligned with that kingdom, which is appearing of Lord, of Lord Jesus Christ, that we form those 12 gates. Pierce is our soul that is showing for those nations. Gates are not those stones. They are nature. They are divine nature in men. Which is expressed among a people. Because they are gathered unto one name. That name is the oil flowing from the high priest. Remember the story of when men want to build to themselves a city. Genesis 11. He said, let us make to ourselves a city that we may preserve for ourselves a name. Can you see? So it's for a name. Genesis 11, give me that verse. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick. God beat the stone, but they want to make beat what? We brick. And burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, right? Next verse. You can see that city is not a new thing on the earth, right? Devil himself had gone ahead of God to raise men, to make man his own city. And let us make, who stop, can you see? Let us beat us a city and a tower. Whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. That's a kingdom. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Let me see verse 2 and 3. Can you see? And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and that they dwell there. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Verse 2. Verse 6 said, and the Lord said, behold, the people is what? Is one. They became united in that agenda. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Because oneness is what wife? Abi? What's oneness? Wife. So it means that devil want to marry them. They should become a bride to devil. No, when God also will raise society, that city will become what? His own bride too. Yes. Why will God raise a city for himself? Is to get for himself a bride. Or people that have become one with him. Hallelujah. When you hear the word one, that's wife. So God said that this one, they already become one in that agenda to make for themselves a name. So devil want to marry them. So the devil too wants to raise to himself a city that will become a bride to himself. Just like God also wants to raise a city that will be his bride. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2. Let's all see together and see that what they are trying to get is the same thing. And I just saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as what? As a bride, or prepared as one, adorned for her husband. So the same way God wants to raise for himself a bride, meaning a people that will become one with him, who will gather around his name. Devil too also had always planned to have that same city that will become one in his own agenda. Give me Revelation 22 verse 1. Let's see more of how they describe the city. And he showed me a pure river. This pure river now of water of life, I told us, is not in heaven. It is what will be seen in our brotherhood. That brotherhood that has become the hem of the garments of the high priest. It's our life that's telling us, they're showing us God's kingdom in its expression in our midst. It's water will flow. That means it's life will flow in our brotherhood. That's the perfect state we are going to. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. That means we will see God's life purely on the earth. True men. Hallelujah. That will be our Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. That will be our Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will form a brotherhood that will produce this structure in the name of Jesus. Amen. That we express this kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful goal for a man to live on the earth. To have this thing. And it showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2. In the midst of the streets of it, those streets that has gold, where men's blood has been shed. Hallelujah. Amen. What is in that land is, you know, when, have you imagined what happened in Israel when they were still in the wilderness? They were killing lamb every day. So that means blood is flowing every day on the streets, right? They were killing lamb. They will have morning sacrifice. They have evening sacrifice. They have many sacrifices that they offer every day. So that means every day is blood, you see. That's to tell you that in our community, we must be seeing blood every day, blood. Men should be dying with themselves every day. We are that lost lamb, we are the one that represents the lost lamb. So when you are dying every day to yourself, blood is being offered. That's what the street must be full of blood. The city is still blood. God's city is what? It's the city of blood. Men must be dying every day. They must be turning our faith every day. That's what makes that system a perfect one. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, can you see? Was there the what? The tree of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded our fruits every month. That's that last phrase. And the what? The leaves of the tree were for the what? Healing of the nations. Hallelujah. So what it will produce in that city is that there will be leaf of that tree. All this thing is the thing that we produce in our brotherhood. So, but there's something about this leaf. So this leaf will be for what? The healing of the nation. This leaf is the commandments. It's a technology that God will bring forth in our community, in our brotherhood, to heal our nations. Your nations is your soul. So that means there must be commandments that God arranged. That commandment is an arrangement of God. It has a leaf. The leaf is not physical leaf. It's an arrangement of God to heal our soul. So that your brother is not, that you don't like, is your leaf in this contest. Hallelujah. What I say? That person you don't like really, that they arrange your way, that's the person that will generate that leaf towards you, that will heal your own nation. Because what will heal you is not what you will like. What I say? What will heal you is not what you like. And it is when you are healed that you are covered. Hear me, hear me, hear me. We are almost signing up this morning. It's when you are what? Healed that what? You are covered. Don't forget, the physician, how does he heal? Yeah. He will bring oil. How they give that oil? He should have training. They will get to you that oil that will heal your own wound through somebody else's imperfection. Your weakness can be used to purify me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's it. This abroad must be able to come to a point where there must be leaf. And already, so that's with, we already have that operation in our midst. Hallelujah. There is no level of our city in terms of our growth in this city. There is a leaf persisting for us that has been positioned around us to heal our nation. That leaf is the arrangement they have put inside you to prune you. God will use our branch to generate the leaf of that tree. Because we are a tree. Hallelujah. Our leaf is the wisdom of God that He has brought up amidst us to take care of our own sicknesses. That commandment that God give you towards a wife is your leaf. Hallelujah. Amen. That arrangement that is friendly being used to purify you is your leaf. They arrange that way. That arrangement is God arrange it. That's the leaf that will purify, that will use your own wound. Cause yourself, you also have iniquity. So they will not want to purify you, right? They will arrange the leaf for you through a commandment that will heal you for a while. And that healing is what also heal your wound. Because you are also wounded. That's how the oil comes to you. What's the meaning of leaf? When Adam sinned, he became naked. Because when sin brings about what? Nakedness. Nakedness is another word for woundedness. A naked soul is a wounded soul. So it is easy for any man that is naked or wounded to get leaf for covering. But the leaf that Adam went for is not a leaf that can heal him. So God said, don't go that way. So because leaf is for covering. So the leaf of the tree is what the great physician has put aside to heal us. Hallelujah. Are you seeing beacon meeting that sense now? That great physician is coming to heal. And he needs to bring leaf. Hallelujah. It is that leaf is the operation of God as a physician to heal you. Because the leaf of the tree is for the healing of nations. Nations are wounded already. Nations are sick. Our soul has gone sick. The healing for your soul, I mean soul, is the leaf of the tree. So we will not go to the fig leaf like Adam did. God already has his own leaf in his own tree that is supposed to give us covering or give us healing. Because healing is what is covering. So how to heal that soul that is naked is to prepare for you a leaf. You must come to know your own leaf this season. You must not look away for that leaf. Don't look away. God said that person, go and be his friend. Don't despise that brethren. Don't say you don't like his nature of life and you are leaving. No. Your own healing is not arrangement. It is that your own leaf. Hallelujah. That arrangement between you and brother. Please, I'm hearing this way this morning. It's the healing that will heal you. It's what the great physician has ordained to heal you with. The great physician of the heavens, right? Can you say it's not heaven, of the heavens. Because every heaven is a covering. Heaven is what? Is what? A covering. So it means that God will appear with different level of efforts. Hallelujah. Every effort is what? Is for covering. So every appearance of God as a physician is the appearance of a particular heaven to heal our wounded soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ is an heaven. Meaning it's a clothing, right? It's a leaf. When you are sick of flesh, when flesh has wounded you, what they will bring to you as heaven to clothe you is Christ. So when Christ comes to us, that's the great physician coming to you with a particular heaven to heal your wound. And he will come with the leaf of the tree. The leaves of the tree were for the what? Healing of nations. They will heal us at different levels. Amen. What they will use to heal us this season is not the same they will use us next year. It's God has it in himself. Heavens. Heavens. Heavens means coverings. Coverings. And every heaven is with a particular oil. The oil is what they will need to heal our wound. So God will come to us in this season as a great physician. Hallelujah. He will come with the leaves of the tree of life to heal our nations and will not run away from it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you and I, we will not run away from every arrangement that will communicate to us this leaf in the name of Jesus. We will identify the leaf of the tree that has been brought to cover us in this season in the name of Jesus. As we align, our wound will be healed in the name of Jesus. God has anointed his servants, all of our fathers in Beacon, with oil. And they will communicate the oil to that bruise in your soul and in my soul in the name of Jesus. The great vision of the heavens will come with the many, many heavens, many, many coverings, many, many leaves, hallelujah, many, many oils to apply to our sickness. And our sins will be healed in the name of Jesus. Let's pray to God this morning.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.